It is Thursday and time for a look at another one of the recommendations made by the jury into the Culleton-Cusack Warmer Dam inquest into their femicide in Renfrew County. Number 48 falls under the safety banner, and here to speak to us about it is Aaron Lee, Executive Director of Lanark County Interval House. Welcome, Aaron.
Always great to be here, Bob.
Now, this one sort of goes along with what we've been talking about, the safety issue. A lot of them are intertwined. I think this one really goes with setting up a registry for IPV offenders and the first recommendation that we talked about in this banner, where you're talking about disclosure of history, other things of that nature. Number 48 says, explore the implementation of electronic monitoring to enable the tracking of those charged or found guilty of an IPV-related offense and enable the notification of authorities and survivors if the individual enters a prohibited area relating to a survivor. In determining the appropriateness of such a tool in Ontario, monitor the development of programs utilizing technology in other provinces. It also goes on to talk about special considerations that have to be given, such as the coverage of cellular networks, particularly in remote and rural regions. Sounds familiar. Storage rules and protocols for tracking data, appropriate perpetrator programs and supports needed to accompany electronic monitoring, whether the tool exacerbates risk factors and contributes to recidivism, understanding any impacts after an order for such technology expires, frequency and impact of false alarms, the appropriateness of essential services being provided by private for-profit partners. Okay, there's lots to unpack in there. I think what we probably are going to focus on here is the fact that if you look back at the Culleton-Cusack Warmer Dam day, if this type of technology had been in use, there would have been a warning for each of those women as the offender entered the so-called restricted zone. And that's taking a look at it at its most basic. It's not a coulda, woulda, shoulda situation. It's just, here's an example of how this could work.
I think that electronic monitoring is a very interesting process in terms of the effectiveness. I think mostly for victims, we need to make sure that we're not creating a false sense of security if we look at implementing electronic monitoring. First of all, of course, we need to consider the rural realities. So we need to figure out satellite-based electronic monitoring, because we know cellular service is challenging at best across rural communities. So we might need to look at satellite-based monitoring, which is also quite costly in reality. The most important thing for me is, when you're thinking about these kinds of electronic monitoring, is it active monitoring or is it passive monitoring? So active monitoring would suggest that, you know, you leave the zone that you're supposed to be in, boom, it happens, boom, it goes to someone, and boom, they're responding. Passive monitoring means that people are looking at it every so many hours. And certainly, I think that that's part of what we need to explore, because the false sense of security, and we know this from other inquests. If we look at the Hadley inquest, we know that Ralph Hadley was on house arrest. We know that he was being monitored. But he was able to leave his home, able to do the things he planned to do to get the supplies he needed to, in fact, murder Jillian Hadley. So for me, this is a recommendation that has been on the table for a very long time. And I think we need to think about the difference between, you know, active and passive monitoring, and look at what are the benefits in that? How will that support the realities of mitigating risk more seriously and more effectively? And let's make sure we've got it right, so that we are not setting up some false sense of security for folks that we can't actually support.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, when you talk about using satellite, you're really talking about developing a new system. I mean, we know that there are tracking systems that are in place in legal systems around the world. The States uses the ankle bracelet quite a bit. I'm not sure if they're used often in Canada, because I don't really know many criminals, to be honest with you. So I don't know if they're using them. But if they do use them, I mean, it would be an expansion of that. And I think one thing that you need to look at when you're talking about this and in selling it, for lack of a better term, is other uses. Because if you're expanding, the way that you can receive this information, you're also expanding the way that you can receive other information, such as someone who's in trouble in a rural area who needs to communicate with someone, and perhaps through a new device or an app or something like that, it can be done.
I think there are existing tools. We used to, at Lantern County Interval House, we had tools that were satellite-based that were for our staff who do community outreach. And if they were in trouble, they had to push one button to indicate to police, one button to communicate, I'm fine. Another button gives us the latitude and longitude, exactly where they were. And we've seen it and had to use it in our agency. Those things need to be upgraded. They need to be more expansive, and I think we need to decide on which side do we err. Do we think about more closely monitoring those who you referred to as criminals, or do we think about more effective tools for more immediate response? We also need to think about and mitigate response time. So when we're starting to look at monitoring devices, whether they be monitoring devices that can assist a victim, like an alarm system, or which we already employ, but more specifically, or if it's a monitoring like a bracelet, what's the response time? What's the reality of what one can expect if they're outside the zone? What do all of those mean to a victim and to a community in terms of creating safer environments? We need to unpack those things very specifically, and we need to garner some information, because we can't do only electronic monitoring without thinking about, we need to provide supports for abusers earlier in the process. We need to make sure that we are empowering women around the justice system. We need to be able to communicate information across systems. We can't put all of our eggs in one basket, and we can't invest solely in electronic monitoring, but we definitely need to explore how it would be effective. What would be the best use of electronic monitoring or monitoring at all? And then look at how does it actually mitigate and work to support safer communities.
Yeah, and the response time, I think, is everything. And it could wind up being a balance where you have, you're actually empowering the victim or potential victim by giving them a bit of control to let the police know somebody's here who shouldn't be here. Well, they may be able to respond before that, letting her know someone is coming, you know, and we're on our way. It becomes a race to that destination at that point, which can certainly save a lot of time. But that balance needs to be there.
Absolutely. And I think that in communities like Lanark County and the town of Smiths Falls, we have been, and they have been, as police servicing agencies, very creative in looking at how they can mitigate situations and be part of a safety plan that perhaps doesn't have formal electronic monitoring, but where we have other things in place to support quick response, to support, you know, code words, to support communicating. You know, there's been a release or there's a high risk situation, inform the victim immediately, work with victim services and the victim advocate to make sure the communication's happening, and create that system and that response that has continues to be effective. It is not the be all and the end all, and we can't have, you know, one thing without the other. But we are very fortunate in our community that we do have good working relationships and continue to build things. And I think as we start to investigate tools and monitoring devices, I think that we'll continue to be creative in our own community.
All right, Aaron, thank you so much. We'll talk about more topics like this in the coming weeks as we continue to look at the safety banner here. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you very much for your dedication and commitment to the inquest. We really do appreciate it.
It's our pleasure and responsibility. I'm Bob Perot. Thank you so much for listening to LanarkLeadsToday.ca and Lake 88.